Of what might happen to you as a result of making these revelations?
Oh, yes. I probably am a dead man already.
They think they're living in a police state.
Once upon a time, there were these people in Europe called pilgrims, and they were afraid of being persecuted. So they all got in a boat and sailed to the New World where they wouldn't have to be scared ever again.
I loves my gun,
and I don't mean no money like I work at Walmart and make no money.
So enjoy yourself, or I'll come looking for you. There and veg out in front of your TV and enjoy what these fine people are giving you, which is maximum entertainment. You understand what I'm saying about? And don't you ever, ever, ever forget what it's like without TV. Because before TV, people just sat and played with themselves all night.
I loves my gun. Loves my gun.
Recorded February 15th, 2012. This is Iron Angel, back again with Rangers A to Z, Episode 2. Snow Crash. In our first episode, we covered generalizations. We covered some basic ideas of what happens if the power goes out or a storm rolls through and you got to take care of yourself and your family for a couple of days. This time around, we're going to get into something a little more specific. This episode is about snow and blizzards and all the wonderful things that go with winter. Since we're in the middle of February, it seemed like a good time. Although we're going to throw back a little bit and cover a holiday track probably in our music today. So it's just basically a general winter episode. Now, first thing is, the background music is something I threw together. It's a reduced version of a song off one of my albums. It's got all the fancy schmancy bits taken out, so there's just something to fill in the holes where I'm saying and staring at my sheet of things I'm supposed to be saying. So, hopefully that doesn't bore you too badly and it gives you something else to listen to other than me just prattling on, sounding a lot like stereo instructions on books on tape. Oh, when I said the bit back there about the wonderful parts of winter, that should have been in quotes. Can you smell that? That's sarcasm. Sorry. Bad jokes I'm trying to stay away from, but it just happens. Some days you just have to have bad jokes. And there's going to be a few in this one, so watch out for that sarcasm. Don't step in it. The first thing to cover, then, is winter. Now, where you're at and where you live, you may not have much of a quote-unquote winter. You may not have knee-deep snow every year like we get up here in the North Country. You may not have blizzards every couple of weeks during the winter. But even in the deep south, with some of the weirder weather we occasionally get, there is sometimes snow. So some of this stuff you can still find being useful. And if not, pass the information along to your friends that live up north. Maybe they can use it. Some of the stuff is pretty straight-up common sense. Some of it is personal experience from living in the middle of this stuff for longer than I really should have been. So we're going to start assuming you're out and about. That's where it usually ends up being a quote-unquote adventure. Is somewhere out with your vehicle, you're driving, and next thing you know, you slide off the road, and sure enough, you're stuck in a ditch somewhere. Now, most people get frustrated and bang on the steering wheel and scream and cry and things like that. And if you got cell signal, you can call somebody to come get you out. But if you call a wrecker, it's going to cost you a pretty good amount of money. If you call a friend, it's going to be an adventure. You're going to be involved, and it's going to suck. But you might be able to get yourself out just where you're at. Let's start out a little bit before where we're at, though. The first thing to do is to keep an eye on the weather. Every couple of days, look at the long-term forecast. See what's coming. If it looks like there might be a storm on the horizon 3-4 days down the road, it's probably time to pack a car kit. So when we get back around to sitting in the ditch, you'll be real thankful and a whole lot more comfortable. So let's start with a car kit. For the most basic car kit, you should really have, for winter time, you should really have a decent warm stocking cap and gloves. I suggest having a couple pairs of the jersey-style gloves, the line jersey gloves. They're usually $2-3 a piece at gas stations and hardware stores and things like that. And the reason for that is if you get them wet, you can switch out to a pair that's dry and lay the other pair out to dry out either on the radiator when you get home or on the dash of your car while you're still sitting alongside the road. That way you don't have wet hands. It's not a bad idea to have an extra pair of socks or two in the emergency kit as well, for the same reason, because wet feet not only are miserable, they certainly don't help your attitude or your outlook on life any. So two or three pairs of gloves, two or three pairs of socks, and a hat is the absolute minimum. It wouldn't hurt to have an extra warm shirt in there too, and if you get a small plastic tub to put all this stuff in, you don't have to worry about it getting wet or dusty or covered in crud or smell like an old tire or whatever. In that plastic bin, why don't you go ahead and add a nice warm blanket too? Something that's made out of 100% acrylic or an acrylic wool blend, because acrylic will dry out rather quickly. Keep it folded up and packed in there. And in that bin, you should probably also have at least one flashlight, if not two. With fresh batteries, and you're going to want to check that flashlight periodically because batteries don't do well in cold. So a backup set of batteries kept up in the passenger compartment of the glove box, or keep your flashlight in the glove box for that matter. You'll find you're reaching for it quite often once you've got it. In your big emergency bin in the back, either in the trunk or if you've got a hatchback in the back somewhere, I also suggest a couple of large candles and either a box of matches or a couple of lighters. Never hurts to have a couple because invariably one will fail on you when you need it. Big candles like the 3-inch pillars. Now, those aren't so much for a romantic dinner on the hood of the car some night. That's really to keep you warm if you ever do get really stuck and it's a situation where you're going to be there for a while. You'll need something fairly sizable to put them on. If you have metal hubcaps, you can pop a hubcap off and use that. The idea is you want to have something metal just in case the candle falls over, and you want to have something that it can catch wax if the wax runs off. You don't really want wax all over your carpeting in the car because it's just really a nuisance to get off, and you'll never really be able to get it all off easily without resorting to, you know, dragging an iron out there and a towel and trying to wick the wax up out of the floor of the car. But two or three candles lit and sitting on the console or down on the passenger seat floor next to you, as long as there's no place they're going to catch something on fire, will give you just a little bit of heat and keep you from freezing. A lot of people say to run the engine for 15 minutes and then leave it shut off for half an hour. That does work if you've got enough gas. The issue being, if your exhaust is plugged, if you've slid in backwards or something, the car may not run. And it's also possible that the car will leak exhaust. If you smell exhaust coming up into the car, you're better off to get out, get your emergency supplies out of the back, bring them up in the passenger seat next to you, set the candles up, wrap up in the blanket, put the hat and gloves on, and sit and wait for help. And that basically covers your emergency kit. Obviously, you're going to want some kind of food in there, some kind of a high-carb snack. And if you're on a diet, this is the time to break it right here. If you're not allergic to peanuts are really good, inexpensive, easy to store, long-lasting, high-protein, just all around a good choice to have. Chips and crackers are always a good thing. Trail mix or Chex mix is a good thing to have. If you can get some MREs, meals ready to eat, either the military surplus ones or the ones from the camping section of many big box stores and outdoor supply stores, one or two of those in the back isn't a bad idea because they'll survive being frozen and things like that. If you live in an area that freezes a lot, canned goods are not necessarily useful. The problem with canned goods is that most things that are canned have a lot of water in them. And while it makes them a lot tastier and easier to eat, if the can freezes, the water will expand, possibly letting it out of the can, which is a little exciting when you discover your hat and blankets and all that kind of stuff have, you know, corned beef hash all over them or something horrible like that. Some people suggest jerky. I think it's a good idea. If you like beef jerky, a couple of good-sized chunks of beef jerky. You want to have all your food wrapped up in plastic, double-bagged in a zip-seal bag of some sort. You might also want to put a spoon or something in there. If you've got canned goods, you want a can opener. Even if you've got a pull-top type can, sometimes the stupid pull-tops will come right off the stupid things. all this stuff should fit into a couple dollar plastic bin, keep everything safe and clean and ready to go. And if need be, you can also use that plastic bin to dig snow away from the sides of your car, although in the cold it's going to shatter and crack a lot easier. That's your most basic kit. Then the middle level kit adds a few more things. Jumper cables, because it really sucks to have a dead battery. Nowadays there's these little battery boosters. It's a portable battery that has a set of cables on it that gives a kick to your battery. Not a bad thing to have. The problem with the battery boosters is you do have to charge them, and when they sit, they will slowly discharge over time, so you have to periodically check them and make sure they're charged. Add to that a small shovel, a little folding packing camp shovel is not a bad way to go. That might even be advanced, but we'll call that a medium level. Flares are not a bad thing to add to your kit. Last time I checked, three flares were a little under $10 at most big box stores. And if you slide off in particularly bad weather, a blizzard or something like that, flares are easier to see than even your car's lights are at a distance through that kind of stuff. And having a flare stuck out in the snow near you, somebody might see you even if you're off the road a ways. A jack, obviously, is not a bad thing to have. If you've got a storage spot for it, have a jack. Have a board to put the jack on. If you end up having to change a tire on some place that's kind of gooey and nasty, a good-sized chunk of what they call 2x6 or 2x8, say a foot long, will keep the jack from sinking in the ground and make it a lot safer. Now, mind you, those 2x measurements are before it's been shaved and peeled and all that stuff. It's actually 1.5 inches thick by, say, a 2x8 is 7.25 or 7.5 inches wide, depending on who made it. But don't worry, that's just the way they market things. Makes you think you're getting more than you are. A four-way wrench is not a bad choice to have. It's a lot easier than the little stubby wrenches that come with most cars to get the lug nuts off. When you are changing a tire, make sure the jack is well braced so the car doesn't fall. And, if at all possible, pop off the hubcap. If you've got those little safety nuts, you have to have a special tool for that, too. Take the little safety nut off, the anti-theft nut off, put the hubcap next to you, and put all the lug nuts in the hubcap so you don't lose them. Now, if you do happen to screw up and knock the tire over and lose all of your lug nuts, here's a quick emergency fix. Take one lug nut off every other tire and use them to hold on your spare. At this point, you're not going out drag racing. You don't want to be driving 135 miles an hour on half your lug nuts. But it will get you someplace you can get things fixed should the problem actually arise. The last thing for a medium kit would be cat litter or some other traction material. Sand, salt. I don't recommend salt because salt getting out in the car will cause corrosion. I've seen people use gravel before. Gravel's not quite as useful as cat litter and stuff. The idea is if you're ever trapped on ice, in some cases you'll get to a spot where you're not really stuck, you just can't go. There's no traction. So putting some cat litter under the tire that's spinning will give you some more drive. A more advanced kit adds all the things you've got before, and it's also got one of the flexible type nylon toe straps. They're usually bright yellow or red. And the idea there is you can hook your car to another car. The other car drives away, causing the strap to stretch, and it doesn't jar your car when it reaches the end of that strap, or rip your bumper off or some other exciting thing like that. If you're going to use a tow strap or something like that, there's usually rings up underneath the front of a car, and if you're at the back end and you have to pull it from the back end, you're really better off to reach up in there and wrap it around the mounts of the bumper, not the bumper itself. Both of those will give you a much firmer grip, and you don't have to worry about ripping it off anywhere near as badly. If you want to have a even more advanced kit, if you go to the hardware stores, there's something called a come-along, which is a length of aircraft cable and a hand winch. Now, mind you, this is a whole lot more monkeying around. This is something you really need to have somebody show you how to use at some point. If you want to get into a super advanced kit, you have to kind of go a little further. You actually have to go to the point that you are looking at vehicles with the possibility of being in bad weather in mind. If you camp a lot, if you live in an area that sees a lot of rough weather, consider a four-wheel drive or an all-wheel drive vehicle. Both of them have merits. They both operate slightly differently. Some four-wheel drive systems require you to get out and lock the hubs. In driving horrible rain, that's really not a lot of fun. The ones that have the internal switches are a little easier to deal with. On the whole, I prefer the all-wheel drive systems. They drive all four tires all the time, well, more or less. That's a complicated thing. Talk to your car buddies about that. They'll tell you about that. And the main reason that I prefer the all-wheel drive systems is they tend to be designed to run that way all the time, whereas a four-wheel drive sometimes doesn't like being left in four-wheel. I had an old pickup truck, one of the older systems that they don't necessarily build quite the same way anymore, and if you had it in four-wheel drive, it didn't really want to go over about 35 miles an hour. It would start to vibrate and do all kinds of weird things, but that truck had a lot of problems, so that could just be that vehicle. Let's see, that covers most of actually it doesn't. Some more of the super advanced stuff. Once you've got an all-wheel drive or four-wheel drive vehicle, if you really want to go all out, you might consider a bumper winch. These mount right fast, they're bolted on, they're usually electric, in some cases they're hydraulic, but they're usually an electric winch. Mostly you see them in rock crawlers, guys that are going out into the really rough stuff, will have a winch on just in case somebody gets caught someplace and they have to pull them off or pull them up a hill or something like that. An electric winch is something you need to have somebody teach you how to use because there are some safety concerns there. And running the cable the wrong way and breaking a cable is excitement you just don't want to go through. I guess we could add in the super advanced category a roof rack with skis and poles. If all else fails, you could put on your cross-country skis, grab your poles, and go out cross-country, and next thing you know, you're wherever you need to go quite a bit later and perhaps a little more out of breath. But, you know, if you've got skis and poles, it's a consideration. If you know there's a blizzard coming and you absolutely have to travel someplace or you absolutely have to get to work, that kind of thing, having skis, heck, even possibly having snowshoes in the car. These would all be super advanced things. Obviously, these are something you're going to have a learning curve on. I wouldn't recommend grabbing skis and just slapping them on and going for it, because more than likely you're going to end up twisting an ankle or something. But get somebody who's competent to show you how to put everything on. You're going to need the ski boots or else the right set of locks to allow you to use your regular day boots. Something I missed in the regular everyday stuff. If you work in an office and wear office shoes, wear nice shoes, it's really not a bad idea to have a spare set of hiking or hunting style boots in the car. Good warm ones. When you switch over to them, switch over to your heavy winter socks, the ones that you've got in your emergency plastic tub. Because when your feet get cold, quite often you'll get chilled and don't know it. Hypothermia is one of your biggest dangers. Invariably, in these kinds of situations, the big things to concern yourself with are hypothermia, dehydration, and frostbite. Dehydration is a little more tricky because you can't really store water in the vehicle in the winter if you know it's going to freeze overnight. Same reason we talked about with canned goods, is it's going to split the container. And frozen water isn't really helpful anyway. I really suggest against eating snow. A lot of people say, oh, just eat snow. Well, the problem is snow causes you to get cold internally, and it actually can dehydrate you. And the reason for that is you're using a lot of energy to warm that snow up. If you've got a little clean tin cup in the back of the car, you could get some out, get some snow, take the top off the snow that's fallen down in the deeper stuff where it's going to be clean. Scoop out some snow, set it in the car with you next to your candles and stuff, and let it melt down so you can drink that. On the whole, snow is pretty clean. It naturally cleans itself as it drops. You have to get away from the roadside where it's been thrown off with the plows and stuff back out in the deep snow. But if you're really stuck, there's a good chance you're out in the deep snow. So find some nice clean snow, set that aside, let it melt down. In your car, if you set it up on your dash, because heat rises, there'll be more heat up on that level than there will down by the candles. So if you set it on the dash on the passenger side up over the candles, it'll melt a little quicker. Generally, an aluminum cup of some sort transfers heat pretty good, so you can do that. But if you're using your body heat to melt it, that's an issue. You don't really want to do that. keeping your extremities from freezing is really important. You want to prevent frostbite, which is what the gloves and the hat and things like that are for. If you have to, you can take your gloves off, stick your hands inside your jacket underneath your arms and your armpits, and warm your hands up to keep them from freezing and getting frostbite. Frostbite is kind of sneaks up on you. It's dangerous, especially if you're from a southern climate, you're not used to it, and it's down, say, 8-10 degrees. You may get frostbite and not even realize it. You'll have a period of time with some numbness, and you should really look up frostbite online and understand the symptoms. As your skin starts to turn white, it's an issue. You're in some trouble at that point. When it starts to go numb, you're in a great deal of trouble. Get warm. Put your hands inside your jacket and get warm. Then put your gloves back on. If you have to switch out to your dry gloves, do so. Now, all of that said, when it's really cold, say below 0 Fahrenheit, I can't think off the top of my what that works out to our friends doing Celsius, but it's, let's say, below minus 15 Celsius or so. At that point, the air you're breathing starts to be a danger to you. You're actually getting the cold air into your lungs, and it can cause internal frostbite and frostbite in the throat. Those are real dangerous and potentially really hazardous. If you have to, take your towel, your blanket, whatever, wrap it up over your face so you're breathing through it, so you're pre-warming the air slightly. If you know it's going to be a really cold day and you have to be out, adding a scarf or even just a regular terry cloth bath towel to your collection is not a bad idea for that reason. And honestly, having some towels in the car probably couldn't hurt anyway. Invariably, there's going to be a point you're going to spill something, and having a towel in the car is just not a bad idea. If you're breathing the cold air, you'll get cold internally very quickly. Your core body temperature will drop, and you'll start to get tired. You'll start to get sleepy. In a high-stress situation, you'll get sleepy easier anyway, so you're not always sure what's causing it. As the adrenaline starts to run off, a lot of people will get sleepy, you know, that initial rush from going into the ditch. And while we're on that initial rush, let me just cover something real quick. Men and women respond differently to a high-stress situation. For males, the adrenaline hits immediately, it spikes, and within 5 minutes, it's almost out of their system completely. Estrogen blocks the uptake and release of estrogen. So if a woman is in a car accident or slides off the road, that kind of thing, be aware. You'll want to pace yourself, because you'll start to panic in about 45 minutes to an hour. It won't happen right away. Typically, you'll get that adrenaline rush later on. You might get an initial rush, but it'll get worse in about 45 minutes to an hour. And then it will stay that way. The same reason it takes a while for it to come up to the levels the male reaches quickly. Estrogen blocks its release, so it stays in your system longer. So women, if you're in a situation like this, if you slide off the road, get your stuff out, get wrapped up, because when that adrenaline hits, then you'll start to go into shivering, kind of almost like convulsions, and your body will shed heat very quickly. And that heat you're shedding is something of an issue. Especially if you don't have a hat on, if you don't have gloves on, that kind of stuff, your body will radiate all of its heat out, and then you'll be in a situation where it's very easy for you to get cold, and that's not necessarily a good thing. That covers everything I can think of right now for cars. I'm sure there'll be something else I'll come up with just as soon as I stop recording, but for now, when we come back, we're going to cover winter at home. And in the meantime, since we're covering winter stuff, we're going to use a music track that's sort of a holiday track, but not exactly. This is not a typical holiday song like you're used to hearing. This is another cultural landslide. And it's a true story of Kirk and Wendy going out to the Mondo Mega Mart to get cat litter for Miss Kitty around the holiday season, and all the weird little experiences they had. Kirk swears it's a true story. I don't know. As far as I'm concerned, sure, okay, it's a true story. Either way, it's a funny track, and it's a great track from ACL, ACL being another cultural landslide, so Here they are with Just Remember, I'm Santa Claus.
Okay, now, this is a true story. Wendy and I are at the Mondo Mega Monster Mart doing our weekly run for cat food and cat litter for Ms. Kitty. And Wendy sends me to the hardware aisle for something we can use to hang a couple of racks of fighting conch shells on the bedroom wall. As I examine my choices between 3/4-inch brads or 1/4-inch wall anchors, I feel a tug on my jeans, and I look down to see a 4-year-old child with a really devilish grin yanking on the left leg of my Levi's. As I wonder what his long-term tugging goal might be, his 6-year-old brother races down the aisle wielding a 3-foot strip of counter-molding like a lightsaber, complete with sound effects. Just then, Mom enters the aisle, her cart carrying a 3-year-old gnawing on a bottle of Elmer's Glue All, while Mr. Tugger continues in his attempts to depants me, Anakin Skywalker slashes at a roll of fiberglass insulation, shouting about how he once needs has to have the Nerf lightsaber with its second secret saber right now, or at least for Christmas. Mom yanks the Elmers out of the 3-year-old's mouth, who immediately starts screaming, then pins her laser-like eyes on young Anakin Skywalker, grinches up her face, and says,
"Just remember I'm Santa Claus, so you damn well better be good."
Okay, now remember, this is a true story. She actually said all of this, but just in case you missed it.
Just remember I'm Santa Claus, so you damn well better be good.
Well, she didn't say it that soulfully. I mean, she was wearing a 2004 Toby Keith U.S. Tour t-shirt.
There ain't no chimney on that double wide. Get your ass back here. Put down that wood.
Her kids, of course, ignore her completely and go on slashing, screaming, and tugging at legs, respectively. Now, at first, I felt sorry for this woman carting around this wrecking crew, and I utter a silent prayer for her and her kids. But then she follows up her Santa threat with a string of invective strong enough to make a longshoreman cry. It has absolutely no effect on the kids, because they most likely have heard it before. I kind of smile at her, and I receive back a look of pure venom as she reaches out for Mr. Tugger. "Get your ass back over here, Vernon," she says, and grabs Vernon the Tugger by his left hand, which leaves his right hand completely free. Big mistake. He reaches out with his right hand and, yoink, gets a nice big handful of my left cheek, you know, the lower cheek, and he doesn't let go, and this kid's got one hell of a grip. I grin a somewhat nervous grin as she yanks her right hand free and pushes off after Anakin Skywalker, who is now attacking a row of clay pots in the garden department. At this point, I make my escape, head back over to the pet aisle, and meet up with Wendy, who's loading a big bag of cat food into the cart. I tell her about my experience, and she gives me a "you gotta be kidding me" look, which of course I'm not, as the back of my pants serve as exhibit one, since they're now covered with whatever gooey crap Vernon the Happy Tugger had on his hands. We head to the checkout aisle and start bagging, when who shows up but Ms. Santa and her crew. Glue Kid is now covered in Elmers, Anakin is still going on about getting a lightsaber for Christmas, and Vernon is eyeing my butt again. We pick up the pace, but not before Anakin whacks a carton of eggs out onto the cart and onto the floor, at which point Wendy gets her first-hand view of Mama Claus as she lets out with another blue streak, then says,
"Just remember I'm Santa Claus, so you're whining, better stop."
Anakin whines something anyway about how he has to pee and why can't she just buy him the lightsaber right now.
"Your daddy's late on child support. He started dating that car."
And then he says he saw another Santa outside the store and maybe he could bring it instead.
"So the only bearded guy you'll see are on daddy's tapes of ZZ Top."
So as we head out to load up the trunk, we're both figuring there's a song in here somewhere. And as I load up the trunk, Wendy starts singing,
"Let me show you something. When we get back home, we ain't got no chimney on that double wire we don't own. Just remember, yeah, I'm Santa Claus, S-A-N-T-A Claus."
Just about then, Mrs. Santa loads up her entire crew into a 1994 Ford Ranger and nearly backs over before she peels out. But at that moment, I see the lone bumper sticker on her truck with only 3 words on it. Ho, ho, ho. And seeing that bumper sticker caused a light to go on in my head. Hell, I might have to reconsider everything I knew about Santa Claus.
"Just remember I'm Santa Claus, so you damn well better be.
It's been a tough year. What if Santa was forced to downsize, move to Callaway, and take up a secret identity?
Just remember I'm Santa Claus. So you damn well better be good.
And maybe we bought into a myth. Maybe he is really a she. I mean, what if it's true?
I'm keeping all my lumps of coal. So you better act just like you should.
Then again, that would mean that in reality, I had just been groped by an elf.
was another cultural landslide with Just Remember I'm Santa Claus, followed by Porn on Beta with their cover of Stand By Me. I want to thank them both for giving us permission to use those tracks in the show. And in just a little bit, I'll get you information on how to get a hold of those tracks if you want to. But before we do that, I have a little adventure story for you. It's not really ironic, it's just sort of fitting that in the middle of doing this show, I had one of those little everyday emergencies we talk about here. I recorded the first half and then took a break to go out and make myself some dinner and managed to step on a piece of glass from a jar I dropped a couple of weeks ago and thought I had all cleaned up, and turns out I did not. So I got to take a little longer break than expected to put some antibacterial cream on it and tape myself back up, and I'm back and I'm fine, and it's irritating, but, you know, it's one of those impractical things that happens practically every day. And that's really what this whole series is about, is how to get around those little annoyances in life, make life more comfortable, make life a little safer, and just get through those little adventures and emergencies and things like that without making a big deal out of it. Is it one of those kinds of injuries I need to go to the hospital for? No, not at all. It's a quarter-inch long cut, not even a quarter-inch deep. I said some loud bad words. I lost one of a pair of socks in the battle. On the whole, no big deal. But that's the exact sort of thing we're going to cover in this show, is those little things like that that, if you're not ready for them, could be kind of a bigger deal, could be a quote-unquote emergency. And so, yeah, it's just funny how these things always seem to work out like that. So, we'll get back around to the music. Another cultural landslide can be found in a lot of places on the net. If you just go to your favorite search engine and type that in, you'll find them somewhere. The easiest place to find them I know of is on AloneTone, AloneTone.com. Another cultural landslide and a number of other artists you're going to hear us play all have tracks up there. You can download them for free. You can listen to them in the stream. They've got quite a few tracks up. I don't remember how many off the top of my head, but many albums of stuff. Their music is all over the place. So even if that track wasn't really to your liking, there might be something there you might like from them. The other track was a cover that James O'Brien from Porn on Beta was kind enough to let me use. You can find them at rantmedia.ca, RANTMEDIA.ca. Along the top edge, you'll find a whole bunch of different little things. Porn on Beta is the far right-hand one, I believe. Kind of a strange name, but they're an interesting band. James also is the man that heads up all of Rant Media, Rant Radio Talk, Rant Industrial, Rant Punk, Rant TV, is the producer of a number of films, has been seen in a number of documentary films, does a lot of great stuff. I want to thank you a great deal for letting us use that, and then we'll get back into our main topic, which is Snow Crash. We covered being away from home, being in a car stuck in snow somewhere, and now it's time to cover being home. Being home in the middle of a blizzard is a whole lot more comfortable and a whole lot easier than it is being stuck somewhere alongside the road in your car. But still, there's a few things that you might want to be ready for. As we mentioned in the original episode, in our inaugural episode, having some water put up is not a bad idea. Some soda bottles or gallon milk jugs you've cleaned out really well, stored up underneath the sink, gives you some water for cooking with, for drinking, that kind of stuff. Because really, you know, quite frankly, dry pasta or dry rice, just not that tasty. Once you've got your water stored away, and you don't really need a huge amount, even in the worst case scenario, most blizzards and things like that, you're not going to need more than, say, 10 gallons max. If you have to go without water for a few days, you can go outside, scoop up some snow, put it in a bucket, put it someplace where it can warm up and melt down, and you can use that to flush your toilet with. You just pour it in, and the about 3 or 4 gallons of water will cause the toilet to flush and take care of that little issue. If you think you're going to be without power, if you're in an area that is historically normal, it's not a bad idea to set 4 or 5 buckets in your tub ahead of time and fill them up, get them ready to go, just in case. Or if the if the weatherman is saying it's going to be a really nasty storm, this is going to be an awful one, this is a once-in-a-lifetime storm, not a bad choice. Hopefully you've got some food stored. You've got a couple of can openers, you know, just in case the main one breaks. Again, you're going to want some lighting, flashlights, obviously. The crank-style, generator-style LED lanterns are a good way to go because they're real safe. And if you've got kids, it's a real good idea to have, you know, each of the kids gets their own flashlight and extra batteries because they'll like to play with them. It'll be kind of an adventure. And make it an adventure. Don't make it something to be afraid of. I think that's a lot of why I came out like I did. When I was a kid, I remember in 78, 79, something like that, we had a real good snowstorm. And my mom made it more of an adventure. It was, you know, our power went out for about 4 or 5 days. At one point, there was a drift across the front door, and we could not even get out of the house. And so she made it a game of, well, you know, let's put on our snowsuits, go outside and play in the snow. We'll climb out a window and you know, and pretend. I don't remember what we did, but it was, you know, it wasn't an, oh, we're in such a big trouble here. She made it fun. She made it so that, you know, as a kid, I wasn't scared. And so to me, it wasn't a big deal. Some of my friends' parents freaked out, just lost their minds. And so they were terrified of it. And now, you know, now it's been 30 years, and they're still kind of afraid of these snowstorms because of what happened that year. I remember we went down the way, and we had a snowmobile, so we went down the way and helped out a couple of the older neighbors around the area, dug out their porches, dug out their garages, stuff like that. So when finally the snow did get cleared on our road, it took a while because we lived out in the middle of nowhere. One of the neighbors had a snowblower and a big tractor mount snowblower, and he went out and plowed and blew snow out of his driveway and everybody else's driveway up and down. And there was a strip of our road that was clear, so we could get back and forth between the four or five houses along the two-mile stretch that we lived on. But you don't see that kind of thing very often unless you live way out in the country like I did. But we had all the basics that I'm going to cover here. We had food put up. We had water put up. Once we got our door dug out, we brought a bunch of water in the garage in buckets. We brought in basically snow in buckets. And as the buckets would you know, fill up with water and melt down the snow, we'd pour them together and go out and get some more snow. And we made a game of it. You know, who could get the most level bucket and things like that. And because of that, it wasn't a frightening experience at all. And I learned that it only needs to be about 35 degrees for snow to melt. And so inside the garage was plenty warm. And the house stayed quite warm. It was probably 45 in the house. This was a big, old, drafty farmhouse. This is the kind of farmhouse you see in old movies and things like that. So it wasn't a particularly warm house to begin with. And I know my friends down south have a lot of problems with that, too. Their houses are not really insulated like they are up north. And so if it does get very cold, even though it's not going to stay cold for a long time, if the power goes out and they're without heat, they're kind of in a pinch. A lot of people will say, well, just open up the oven and turn the oven on. Well, not such a great choice. If your house is well sealed, it eats the same air you do. That's a problem. It lets off carbon dioxide. That's a problem. You're actually better off, you know, if you have to do that, crack a window, run a fan, break up the carbon dioxide, get oxygen to the stove. And obviously, you know, don't leave a towel hanging on the stove door or something like that, because that would be a possible fire danger. And you don't want to leave something flammable. You don't want to leave your, you know, your paper mache on the top of the stove either at that time. But basically, if you have to do that, do it for a little while, then close the windows back up and that sort of thing. You're actually better off to just go to an internal room, because the rooms around the outside of the house are going to be the coldest. Put on extra clothes, sit around, and tell stories. Times like that are a really great time. We are, as a creature, kind of an oral history creature. Right now, we're basically doing oral history between you and I, you the listener and I, the presenter, performer, whatever you want to call me here. And you're passing on knowledge, you're passing on information. So tell stories of your family. You know, I remember so many stories from my grandmother and from my parents, my granddad, stuff like that, all the adventures they had as kids. And some of those I learned things from that I could use later and pass on here. And in some cases, it was just fun things to know about your family, to know your family history. You could also sit around and tell stories. There's a lot of things that the parents have seen a movie the kids haven't. You can tell them the story, and if they want to go back and watch the movie later, okay, great. You know, if you remember a movie from your childhood that you liked a great deal, tell the kids the story. And I'll tell you what, I bet you, you come back 10, 15, 20 years later, when those kids are grown up, they'll come back and they'll tell you, you know, Dad, Mom, I remember when we were snowed in that one time, that story you told me really stuck with me. That was really cool. You'll be real surprised. It goes beyond just surviving and goes into thriving, which is not a bad thing to do in life anymore, I'll tell you. Everybody's so afraid of everything. There's really no reason to be afraid. Once you know how to do a few things, you stop being afraid of those things. You know, once you're ready for a snowstorm, you're not really afraid of it anymore. Sure, it's going to be irritating. It's going to be a nuisance. You're going to have to go through it, and it'll be miserable. But you're not really afraid of it anymore. If you can share that with your neighbors, you know, especially if you got a neighbor you don't get along with that well. You know, if you're snowed in and they're really suffering, maybe this is the time to go reach out to them and say, hey, bud, you know, I know we don't get along, but I know you're in a pinch here. We got some extra food. We got some extra water. Help them out, too. Sometimes that'll go to mending fences like nothing else can. They may still hate you. Hard to say. Some people are jerks. There's no accounting for that. There's nothing you can do about that. That's their choice to be a jerk. You know, if you can better it, if you can get to know your neighbors and know who around you might need assistance, it's not a bad thing. If there's an older, you know, older family around you, a single older person living around you, maybe go get them. You know, if they're willing to come with you back to your place and stay warm, and they'll probably have some stories that will just curl your hair, I tell you. Anyway, basic house stuff. When it gets real cold like that, cover your windows. Anything spare you've got, big towels, beach towels from the summer, hang them up over the windows. The windows lose a lot more heat than anything else in the house unless you get a door hanging wide open. So covering your windows up with something like a heavy cloth or heavy towel, that helps to keep the heat in. You don't have to do it through the whole house, just the room you're in. If you've got a room that you can close the doors and stuff, especially if it's an internal room so you don't have an outside wall that's getting colder, you can keep that room reasonably warm for several days. If you have to, hang something up across the door, some thumbtacks and a couple of blankets across the door to keep the heat in. Now, in that room, when you got three or four people sitting around, you've got some body heat there, and the kids will be miserable, and, you know, you have to find ways to keep them amused so they're not running in and out and playing hide-and-seek in the blanket and pulling it down. But if you have, you know, if you have some people in the room, that'll be a little warmer just because there's bodies in the room. If you've got a Coleman lantern, you know, we try not to do mind share stuff and tell you to go buy a specific product or a specific brand of product usually, but I think they're the only company I've seen that are still making these things. There must be some other companies out there. It's the only one I can think of off the top of my head. The propane-powered gas lanterns. Same precautions apply. They're eating your oxygen, but they do put off a great deal of heat as well as light. So if you're in a room where you've got everybody kind of holed up in the evening and it's getting colder, turn the lantern on for a little while. Everybody can sit around and read by the lantern light, that kind of thing. Just tilt your books forward so you're not straining your eyes, and you can survive pretty comfortably on heat off a lantern for a few days if you need to. Again, you're probably going to want hats. You might even want gloves. You know, the backward robe things that were all the rage a few years ago, not necessarily the best choice, but if you got one, put it on over your regular clothes. Layering is good. Loose layers are good because it traps air around your body. And this is something I should have covered in the car and didn't, is layering up basically is insulating your body. Your body heats up the air around you, and as the layers around you warm up, they help keep that warm air from being carried off when you move or when a breeze goes by, that kind of stuff, or rising away from you. So if you're in a house that's cold, put on an extra layer or two, Again, you know, dry socks. A couple layers of socks may not be a bad idea. If you don't have good, thick winter socks, put on two or three pairs of regular socks. No, it's not comfortable. Yes, it looks goofy. You're not trying to win a fashion show. You're not on a runway. You're trying not to freeze to death. And, you know, I've joked for years. I'm kind of a fat guy sometimes. I'm not, but I, you know, I'm a big guy. And that's insulation for wintertime, you know, because little skinny people get cold easier. And so if you happen to be thin, some people just, that's the way they are. That's the way their body is. If you are thin, you're going to lose heat easier because your body doesn't have that insulating layer. So you need to dress warmer. Women on the average need to dress warmer because women shed heat more. In some cases, women's core body temperature actually runs slightly lower than men's. But in many cases, they just shed heat more than men do. So definitely look seriously at layering up. If you have to wrap up in blankets, it's best to wrap completely. Wrap them around behind you, too, so that you're insulating yourself from whatever you're sitting on. And you're not trying to heat up the whole couch at the same time. It wouldn't hurt if you're gonna be in the room for quite a while. Get a sheet and wrap that around yourself first, and then wrap a blanket over that. One, it's a lot smoother on your skin. Two, it's another layer of insulation. And so you have kind of a multi-layer insulation, like if you were up in the attic of your house and you put an extra layer of insulation in. That's kind of what you're doing there. And the same thing that works for your house works for your body quite well. If you've got a hoodie-type sweatshirt, that's not a bad choice either. Keep the hood up because it keeps the back of your neck warm. All the blood flow through your neck and throat is cooling if you don't keep it wrapped in the winter. If you have to go outside to shovel or go get supplies, something like that, again, same precautions as with the car. If it's real cold, you want to cover your face, you want to cover your neck, so you're not breathing ice cold air down into your lungs and getting your body real cold and just, you know, generally heading for a case of hypothermia or frostbite. We're not going to cover the first aid for frostbite and stuff in this particular episode. Those are a lot more complex and really almost need an episode unto themselves. And we're starting to wind down toward the end of the hour here, so we won't be covering that. Let's see, we've covered food, we've covered light to some extent. During the day, you can leave a curtains back on one window so you can get light in and things like that. If that window is leaking cold real badly, and you've got the stuff to do it, plastic film helps. It diffuses the light quite a bit. Just tape it up in place for the time being. It doesn't have to be pretty, it just has to keep you warm. If you've got outside doors that are leaking air underneath the door, roll up a towel and stuff it along the bottom of the door so that it's not letting cold air directly into the house. It lets cold air in, it lets warm air out. The top edge of the door might also be leaking air. If you've got a door that's leaking like that, when you get a chance, you're going to want to go back through and weather strip it, obviously. The more airtight your house is, the easier it is to keep it warm in the winter and cool in the summer, which saves you a great deal of money in the long run. But for now, if you have to, stuff newspaper. Just either roll it up or fold it over or whatever. Stuff newspaper into the cracks around the doors that you're not going to be using. Because obviously when you open the door, all the newspaper is going to fall out, and that won't work, will it? But stuff newspaper or even tinfoil into the cracks, anything to keep the airflow from going through there. Perhaps on the doors that you don't use during the winter, you might want to do that anyway if you don't have them weather stripped. Weather stripping is not really expensive. I hardly recommend it if you live up north. Even if you live down south, if you're down in the areas that don't get real cold, they still get real hot in the summer, and that's keeping the real hot air out of your house. So they'll save you some money, they'll save you some time in the long run because you're not having to go through and restuff them every time it gets awful. That's all I can think of. I'm sure there's probably something I'm missing, and like I said before, I'll think of it just as soon as I hit the stop button. And if I do, I'll come back. We'll do addendums in later episodes, so hopefully you'll come back and listen to some of the other episodes. For now, that wraps up episode 2 of America's, of Rangers A to Z, sorry. Our website is r4nger5.com. Come catch back episodes of Rangers Radio, Rangers Oz, Rangers Bravo, and Rangers A to Z there. We're going to close with another track from ACL, Another Cultural Landslide. This is a track they did for the RPM Challenge, which is to write and record an album of original material in the month of February just because you can. And this track is talking about getting into the hobby of music. Was kind of the soundtrack for RPM that year. And for the life of me, I can't remember what year that came out. 2009, 2010, somewhere in there. I can't actually recall, but if you look at their profile on AloneTone.com, it'll tell you what year this came out. So that wraps up this episode of Rangers A to Z. We're going to close with Another Cultural Landslide, Brand New Hobby.
Uh-oh. That sounds like a loop. Yeah, that's a loop. I must have fired their drummer. Uh-oh. It's ominous. Spooky. Yeah, this is about as spooky as my grandmother's underwear. Oh, these musicians, I bet they're going to try and follow it up with something really clever.
Guarded day and night behind these huge steel doors, I found a treasure house of music.
Oh, that was so clever. And then they added surf guitar. Oh, boy. What's next?
The sound engineer is ready.
You mean they have an engineer? That could fool me.
The musicians are set.
Yeah, they're off smoking dope.
And I see a record made.
Heard you found a brand.
You know, I don't really understand these so-called musicians. I mean, they want to be taken seriously. They want their music to come out and show their talent. Well, how can you take them seriously? They don't make any real money. They don't have jobs. And talent? Hey, you want to see talent? Come over to my house. Watch my kids play rock band.
Have fun with your brand new hobby. Don't complain, you're always broke. Think of all that wasted money. Maybe you should buy a boat.
Yeah, just think you could have a little sail cat or something sweet like that. wait a minute. Somebody told me this was an instrumental band. What the hell was that?